Really is good for us just to come away from everything else and worship God together. We are continuing a teaching series, which I creatively entitled Stuff That Matters. And what we've been doing over the last several weeks is this, just to backtrack a little bit. The statisticians tell us that the largest measurable age group in which there's been an increase in interest in faith and in church attendance is Gen Z, which means 14 to 29-year-olds. And actually, Wednesday night here in this room testified to that too. So 14 to 29-year-olds are the biggest measurable group. And I did a fair bit of reading up about this towards the end of last year, and I came across a book that called itself What Gen Z Really Wants to Know About God. The title got me for one reason, because I think too often in church life, we tell people what we think they should know instead of what they want to know. So these are seven things Gen Z really wants to know about God. So we've been working through them during the course of this series. Now, some of you may say, well, yeah, I'm a few generations ahead of Gen Z. And some of you may say, I grew up before we had generations like that. But anyway, the fact is these questions not only relate to that age group, but they're relevant for all of us in two ways. Firstly, because they're probably questions that we would be asked ourselves from time to time. And then there are also questions that we ourselves may ask from time to time. So that's where we're going. And today we're going to come and look at the question, what is true? What is true? Now, it's been great even through the summer to meet folks that are new to Genesis at a time when, you know, attendance is generally quieter, and it is quieter, but there have been quite a number of new folks that are here with us. If you're new today, there's one thing I want to tell you so that you won't be distracted while I'm speaking, because often people say, where's your accent from? So let me just get that out of the way, can I? I spent the first 26 years of my life born, grew up in England. And then I pastored for 15 years in Scotland. Then for the last 35 years, 76 if you can't do math, all right? So for the last 35 years, I've been here on Long Island. And actually in 2020, I became a US citizen in the federal courthouse in Brooklyn. So when you say what's the accent, well, there's a bit of English, there's a bit of Scottish, but what you're probably hearing is Brooklyn. Okay, so. You know what? You know, if I had to choose, I wish I sounded like Morgan Freeman. Right? Hasn't he got an amazing voice? Right? Honestly, I'd listen to that guy talking about paint. It's absolutely unbelievable. I was reading something the other day that said that Morgan Freeman is probably the most dead man in America. And what it meant is, what they were saying is this: whenever there is a lull in the news cycle, you can guarantee that somewhere on social media, somewhere on the internet, somebody's going to write Morgan Freeman died. He died of this, or he died of that, or he died of that. And the story buzzes around when there's nothing much else going on. Morgan Freeman died today at the age of 297. You don't know what's true, do you? Well, let me rephrase that. You don't know what's true. I'll take the question out of it. And because of that, we all need to be careful what we pass on from what we read on social media and the internet. And if you're not aware of it already, it's not perfect, but you can go to a website, Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S, snopes.com, and you can check the truth of something that you have read. But what is true? Hard to find nowadays sometimes. Is that true? And then you come into this whole thing of AI, right? So a couple of months ago, I can't even remember the context, but I mentioned MC Hammer while I was speaking. And probably not an hour after that service was over, I got this picture. But here was the funny thing. A friend of mine who pastors nearby here sent me a message. He said, it did take me a moment or two to decide, is that really you? Or is it AI? Because I know how you are. No, I never wore pants like that. But you know, you see pictures some places, you see videos, and you can't guarantee that it's right. It might just have been fabricated with the use of AI. It's hard sometimes to find out what is true. And then, of course, there's the fact that Gen Z has grown up in a world where absolute truth is divisive. It's like, well, you've got to let people be who they are. You've got to let them believe what they want to believe, you know. So nobody's telling them there's this. It's true, which is one of the reasons so many of them are floundering. And there's no absolute truth. You know, when a candidate for a justice on the Supreme Court is asked, could you define a woman? And she says, no, I can't. Now, of course you can. But she doesn't want to give a definition because that will alienate a whole group of people. So because you don't want to tick people off, you say, no, it's all right, we don't know. But I'm very relieved that issue is going to be solved very soon now because the WNBA is going to have some special meetings to define what the W in WNBA stands for. Yeah. Because they didn't know that already. Anyway, we live in a mixed up world, and you know, that's the world that a lot of our younger people have been growing up in, where, you know, if you've got an opinion, keep it to yourself. Don't voice it because you'll be harassed for having it. And it goes on and on. Like, everyone decides what is true for themselves. And, you know, fine, you pick, you choose what you believe, what you believe. Who am I to say otherwise? And the sad thing is, that's portrayed as freedom. Everybody's got the freedom to believe what they want to believe, to do what they want to do. But the reality is, if it was freedom, it would work. You do whatever you want, however you want, with whoever you want, whenever you want. Who am I to say otherwise? It reminds me of the final verse in the Old Testament book of Judges. And it says this in Judges 21 and verse 25. It says, there was no king in Israel in those days. There was no absolutes, no rules. There was no king in Israel in those days. And every man did whatever he thought was right. And if you've ever read any of the book of Judges, you will find what that led to. Because in the 21 chapters before this statement, you will see there was absolute chaos, there was suffering, there was mayhem, there was murder, there were all kinds of things going on because everybody did what they wanted. There were no absolutes. And then if we think about Gen Z and ask the question, does that approach to life do what you want? Do what works you. Is it helping them? Let me throw out a few numbers here. Roughly 42 to 46% of Gen Z adults have a diagnosed mental health condition. And that's not taking into account those who have not been to a healthcare professional and had it diagnosed. Among high school students in 2023, about 20% seriously considered suicide. 3.2% made a plan to take their own lives. And about 2% attempted it. All right, let me put that in another way. That's the same as saying, in a high school the same size as PatMed High School, which is just a couple of miles from here, of course, it's saying that in a high school about the size of PatMed, it's like in 1 year, 490 students considered suicide. 78 planned suicide, and 48 attempted it. Those are incredible figures, aren't they? You know why? Because young people are floundering and lost, living in a world where there are no absolutes. There are no absolutes. And you see, when Gen Z asks what is true, they're not attacking our faith. They're asking a genuine question. You know, they're not questioning the content of the Bible at that point. What they're saying is, you know, what is true? What is solid? What can I believe? What can I rely on? What can I be sure about? That's the question they're asking. And you know, when Gen Z are going back into churches, not a huge flood, but measurable, when Gen Z are going back to church, you know the kinds of churches they're going back to? I'll pause while you get ready to pat yourself on the back. But don't, because they're not going back to this kind of church. Gen Z are going back to very traditional churches because they want stability. They're going back to the churches their parents and their grandparents went to. They're going back to buildings that have stood for 100 years and maybe more because they want something. They want something to hold on to that is durable and that is proven and that they can rely on. So let me throw this out to you just now. When we think about, so what is true? What can we rely on in this world? What if these two statements Jesus made are true? John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way. And you know, if others want to go another way, that's fine. Who are we to judge? Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. So it's not, well, each of us finds his own truth and we work out our own truth. No. The Bible says Jesus is the truth. Only one truth is found through Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the life. There is only one way to find true life, a fulfilling life, a satisfying life, a joyful life, eternal life. There's only one way to find the life, and the life is found in Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then Jesus said this in John chapter 8 and verse 31. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hold on to my teaching, he said. I am the way. And when you hold on to my teaching, you will find freedom. So what if truth is a person? What if following his truth as it's laid out for us is really the road to freedom? We'll inject a bit of politics at this stage. You're holding your breath now, aren't you? What if Ronald Reagan was right when he said, within the covers of one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems that face us today, if only we would read and believe. Truth, what is true? Jesus is true. What is true? God's word is true. And that's where I'm going today. If you're just visiting today, by the way, that's the introduction. I hope you brought a bagel in with you. And I want to talk about this today for two main reasons. One is because there will be those here with us today, and you haven't quite anchored your life on truth yet. You haven't really fully anchored your life in Jesus. And I want to lay that out for you. And when I finish preaching today, I'm going to give you the invitation to make a commitment to follow Christ. And a number of people have done that already here this morning and committed their life to Jesus. And that's not just folks in-house, but someone in Pennsylvania sent us a message to say they were watching and have committed their lives to Christ. So I want you to get to a place where you commit to Christ as the truth for you. And then for every one of us here today who's already a follower of Jesus, I hope where we go in the next few minutes will help you to really just underscore the fact that this world may have its own varying opinions, and there may be hostility to the way that I go and to what I believe. But the fact is this, Jesus is the truth, and I'm sticking to Jesus' truth on this earthly journey. A couple of things about how you decide what's truth. If something's true, it lasts. Now, don't ask me why, but in my junior and senior years at high school, I studied the history of science from Galileo to Newton. I hope that's impressive. Lord knows why I chose it. And one of the things I came to realize is who some of the key people in science were. And I learned that in 1546, there was a guy living in what is now Poland who was an astronomer and a mathematician who absolutely turned the scientific and the religious world upside down because he came out with a book that suggested that the Earth is not the center of the universe, but the sun is the center of the universe. Because all anybody had ever believed was Earth is at the middle, everything else moves around the sun. Sorry, moves around the Earth. And he came out with the results of his studies in 1543. For centuries before that, Earth, center of universe, was what everybody believed. But actually, it wasn't true. It may stick around for a long time, but you know what? If something's not true, it will go by the board. Truth is something that lasts. Some of you have heard me before now refer to the fact my mother, when she was a young woman, used to volunteer regularly a couple of times a day at the city mission in the city that I grew up in. And they would feed people living in dire poverty. Every morning they served a breakfast, every night they served dinner, and she would attend services there in the city mission. And you know, that was almost 100 years ago. But when my mother sat in the Exeter City Mission 100 years ago, you know what Bible she had in her hand? This one, not this literal one, this one. Same book. It's the same book. Same book as her pastor preached from. Same book that she read. Same book that she learned to base her life on. It hasn't changed. In fact, when I quote today from the Old Testament, I am actually quoting the same scriptures that Jesus quoted. This book's been around a while. You see, what is true lasts. And there are plenty of people who have done their darndest to destroy people's confidence in the Bible, to literally destroy Bibles. There are so many people who would want to discredit it. But the fact is, over centuries and centuries and centuries, they have not been able to. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said this. He said, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words remain forever. What is true? What's reliable? What can I lean on? My words remain forever, said Jesus. In the first book of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. What I'm preaching for you today is the same gospel, is the same scripture of Jesus' time and of before Jesus' time as well, the Old Testament scriptures. And whatever people have done to try to discredit and destroy the Bible, the fact remains that in 2026, it is still the highest selling book of all time by a margin of billions. There are an estimated 2.67 billion Christians worldwide today. And so the question to put out to anyone here today who's still not sure, you know, do I want to make a commitment? My question to you is this, do you think maybe they've got it right? Could 2.67 billion people I've got it right? Could the fact that the Bible has been around so long with people trying to degrade it, but it has lasted and it is trusted, maybe the Bible is a book that I really ought to base my life and my choices on. There's an interesting phrase in the in Islamic scriptures, and the phrase is, it describes people of the book. But it isn't referring to themselves as Muslims. When that phrase is used, people of the book, they are actually describing Jews and Christians and acknowledging that they had the book way before Islam had a book. The word of the Lord endures forever. People of the book. And if you're wondering today which way's up, let me just say this categorically. His way's up. His way's up. There's only one way. Jesus is the way. And I'm saying that to you, whether you're someone who's kind of just, you know, struggling to try to get into faith, or whether you're someone who's been a follower of Jesus for years, I want you to remind yourself again today, his way's up, his way's up. There is only one way to the full life that Jesus described, and it's his way, the truth, the life. And that is not restrictive, it is absolutely freeing. That's the truth of the matter. Bible's been around for a while because truth lasts. That's why Paul instructed Timothy as a young pastor, and he said to him, 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Preach the word, he said. Someone said to me a while ago, you seem to use an awful lot of scripture when you preach. What do you want me to talk about? Right? Do you want to hear what I picked up at the latest Tony Robbins seminar? No, preach the word. Preach the word. Why? Because God's eternal word is powerful and it is effective and it's proven because it lasts. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. Every part is God-breathed. Showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. April of 1984 was the first time I ever came to the United States. I flew into Norfolk, Virginia, went down to Virginia Beach, where I was going to be speaking at a conference a few days later. And I arrived in the evening, settled in with friends of mine who came from our part of Scotland originally, but now live there, and I was going to be staying with them. And the host pastor, my dear friend Wally Odom, Wally said, hey, Rog, Robert and I, we're going to take you out in the morning. I said, okay, fine, cool. So they did. I went out with them, and I saw what is probably the pinnacle of God's creation. I never imagined it. It took my breath away. Shoney's breakfast bar. There aren't so many of them down south now, but they were very big at that time. Shoney's, my Lord. It seemed a stretch forever. I came from a little village in Scotland. We didn't have a restaurant in our village. And then I go into this place, and I said to Robert, so what's the deal? He said, get your plate, load up. Now, believe it or not, this is the slimmed down version of me. But the 1984 version of me took any kind of buffet or breakfast bar as a challenge. And it's like, really, I'll put you out of business. So I couldn't believe it, man. I mean, you're just whacking the bacon on the plate as much as you like, piling up, and then there's the sausage, and then there's other stuff. And you know what? My breakfast was a great feat of engineering because to build a plate as high as it was, you need real skill. I think I had multiple of everything except the white stuff that looked like you used it to put wallpaper on the walls. I didn't take that. I didn't take that. Grits and I have never been friends. Hey, if you love them, fine, wonderful. The Bible isn't a breakfast bar. You don't pick and choose. I like some of that. I can do what I want with this. No. The Bible is God's truth for us in every aspect of its teaching. And when you know and do the truth will set you free. What is true lasts. What is true? John 17, verse 17. Jesus praying to his Father the night he was going to be arrested. He said to him, "Your word is truth." God's word is truth. So if you were really just trying to get a grasp on, I need to get a focus that's going to carry me through life. Follow Christ through the book. What is true lasts. Okay, another thing here. Let me just throw this out to you. If something's true, it works. Right? What's true works. When we were shut down because of COVID, we had no services here at all for 6 months, apart from a very loyal crew who used to come in so that we could do a service, but with a totally empty auditorium, and we could live stream it out to everybody. But one of the things that we became aware of was it was a good thing that so many of our folks pre-COVID had already got used to giving online rather than in services. And of course that grew and that continued. And today we don't receive an offering. There are boxes if you wanted to give that way along the back wall. But we don't receive an offering. But there are multiple ways to give. And there was some excitement a few years ago in our office when the word was, we've got text to give sorted out. I was born in 1950. That was a long time ago. We didn't have a phone in our house, let alone the one on the kitchen wall with a cord a mile long. We had no phone. So you put me now into 2026, and it's like, dear Lord. So I said, how does that work? They said, well, you text this number, 631-212-0500. So you put that number in and you put a dollar amount. Why don't you try it? Now, I was very reluctant, right? So I put the number and I put $1, right? Now, I'm not cheap, but if this thing's going to clear out my bank account, I'm not going to give it the opportunity, like, you know, $1. And I put $1 on an American Express card because I knew Amex would go to battle for me for my $1 if anything went wrong, right? And I hit the send button, and then I got a message back saying, thank you for your contribution to Genesis Church. And I'm like, wow, this works. It's amazing. You can actually do this. You know, if something's true, it works. In 1 John chapter 1, John introducing his epistle here says this. He says, we have an important message to tell you. We want to tell you about the person who was already there before the beginning of the world. We've heard him speak. We've seen him with our own eyes. We watched him. We touched him. He is the word that gives us life with God. So John, introducing his first epistle there, says to his readers, look, what I'm telling you is not some story I heard from somebody else. What I'm telling you isn't a great theory that may or may not work. He's saying, what I'm telling you now is what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've recognized, and what I know that absolutely works. And the greatest testament to something being true is that it works. John 9, a blind man was brought to Jesus. And in John 9, 6, it says, he spit on the ground, made some mud, and put it on the man's eyes. I read that and thought, what a good job he was blind, because he couldn't see what Jesus just did, right? So Jesus put it on his eyes, and he said, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went to the pool, washed, and came back. He was now able to see. When he did what Jesus said, it worked. And his life changed so much that actually people hardly recognized him. Verse 8, verse 9, his neighbors and some others who had seen him begging said, look, is this the same man who always sits and begs? Some said, yes, he's the one. But others said, no, he can't be the same man. He only looks like him. So the man himself said, I am that same man. And then as they were arguing back and forth, and religious leaders were saying, well, this Jesus isn't all he's cut out to be. Here's what the man said, John chapter 9 and verse 25. Here's what he said. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Is that great? One thing I know. I can't understand all the ins and outs. And I can't reason with you everything you might ask me about. But here's the truth. I want you to read this with me, would you? Read this with me. Read it positively loud. Ready? One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Praise God. Thank God. You're sitting in a room full of stories today. And every one is a story about the grace of God and the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And every one is a story that tells you, I trusted this and it worked. And it's still working. What is true works? Then let me just say this briefly. You all don't take any notice when I say briefly, do you? All right, here's what I want to say lastly. What's true is not complicated. What's true is not complicated. What a mixed up world we live in, where people have got opinions on this and opinions of that, and you've got to say this is for real, but you know really it's not. And it's like, it is so complicated. But what is true is not complicated. I've met so many people over the years who said, you know what I really need to do? I need to find my inner self. Don't do that. It's ugly. It is. The Bible says our hearts are more deceitful than anything else and are desperately wicked. You won't find the solution digging around inside. What you will find is the truth is out of you, it is above you, and you find it when you lift your eyes to Jesus and you trust him. What is true is not complicated. Let me just illustrate that. All right. There are three simple statements that are true and that can change your life. Number one, God created you and loves you tremendously. You were made by God and you were made for God. Secondly, sin broke our world. Stories way back in the book of Genesis from the Garden of Eden. But the reality is this, the stories in every one of our lives. Because every one of us was born in innocence, but we screwed it up somewhere along the way. And we're separated from distance from God. And the third thing is this. Jesus stepped into our mess. He died on the cross. Took the punishment, the guilt of our sin. So that we could find forgiveness and reconciliation. And Jesus rose again. So that we could rise through death. and could inherit eternal life. That's truth that has stood the test of time. That's truth that has set billions of people free. And that's truth that still works today. Every generation pushes the limits a bit more. And that's good. And if you're in Gen Z or whatever came after that, I haven't caught up yet. But if you are Gen Z, I want to tell you, keep pushing things. Keep being innovative. Keep being creative. Generations are generally defined by social behaviors, by music, by fashion. Keep pushing the limits. Keep pushing the limits. But do it from the benefit of a solid, firm foundation. You've got to know for a start what is true. What is true? And what I'm sharing with you today is this. Jesus is the truth. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Psalm 119 verse 30 says this. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. Now here's where I'm just pulling this all together for a moment now and then I'm done. If you're here this morning and you've never fully put your faith in Jesus, and be honest, you're floundering a bit in this life. Today's a good day to choose to follow him. I'm going to choose to trust the Lord. I'm going to choose Jesus as the truth. Today's the day to say, I've set my heart on your laws. I want to live for you, Jesus, and I want to live your way. It's simple. Don't overcomplicate it. If I come into this auditorium at some other time in the week, when I come in, it's pitch black in here, right? There's no natural light, no daylight in here. So the place is pitch black. But I know, because I know my way around. I go up a step or two at the back there in the whatever it is, audiovisual booth. I go there and I hit a button and the big lights that aren't usually on much on a Sunday, the big lights come on and light up all the room. Now I could putz about and say, not sure if this will do it. Yeah, I'm not going to push that button because I don't understand what happens next. I'm not going to push that button because it's beyond me. How does pushing that make big lights come on in the ceiling? And how does electricity work anyway? Now, I just press the button. I don't need to know everything. I just believe when I press the button, the lights will come on. And you know what? When it comes to faith, you'll never understand it all. I guess the day we actually see Jesus, we will. You're never going to understand it all. You may still have a million questions. You may wonder what comes next. But here's what I want to encourage you in today. Man, Lord knows how many words I'll have spoken here this morning. But I want you to remember the four words I'm going to tell you now. Okay, you got this? Press the darn button. Press the darn button. Take the step. Make the commitment to Christ. Embrace Jesus for who he said he is. And for what he promised, he will do for you. What is true? Jesus is true. His word is true. And his truth is very straightforward. God loves you tremendously. He made you for himself. You and I and all of us here today, we messed up the whole thing through our sin and got separated from God. But Jesus came to make a way that we could be reconciled to the Father. Let's pray together, please. as we pray together, I'd like all of you just to be thinking about the first part of that verse in Psalm 119. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. And for those of you that are followers of Jesus already, but you know what? You're weary because the things people around you are saying and thinking and believing and practicing, it's like, it's hard to hold the line. I just want to encourage you this morning to say, God, I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I'm going to live your way. I'm going to live for you. And if you're here today and you've never fully committed your life to Christ, take the step right now. Say, Lord, I've got no idea what this entails, but Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I commit my life to you. You might want to pray something like this. Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for bringing me to this point in my life. Lord, I need you. I need a rock-solid foundation that I can rely on. So, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me for my rebellion. And be my Lord, I pray. Lord, give me the gift of eternal life. Make me your child, I pray. Amen.